Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everyone to a special edition of John Talk Radio. We do this every year and it's been a lot of fun doing this. This is Global Cooperation Day and this is our annual Global Cooperation Day broadcast. And we're bringing it to you. We're live from Mount Sterling, Ohio, where I live, but we have people from all over the world that are joining together today to give peace a chance and to take one day, and it doesn't seem like it would be that much, but one day to bring people together in love and peace and harmony and trust and grace, and for people to lay their weapons down and to lay down the way that they approach each other and treat each other with kindness. And we've got great music to play today. We started off with the OJs. You don't get any better than that. A special guest will be Pete DiLorenzo. We'll be calling in and talk about this day as he's been busy since the crack of dawn with this Global Cooperation Day broadcast. The Global Cooperation Day was founded by Professor Liz Greenwell. And she's a writer, producer, director. She directed No Chance to Paint the Canvas, the world's first film about civil society on a global scale, back in 2001. She also is the one behind this, and this whole thing connected to the United Nations. And we really appreciate the opportunity to be involved in this. it's one of those things where you can't really fathom that when maybe one person can make a change or a difference. But I really do believe that. And we've got, and this is the day, people, that we can actually make a difference. And we can, on Global Cooperation Day, my special guest is Pete DiLorenzo. Pete, welcome to the show.
John, my brother, how are you? It's always an honor. And indeed, I thank you so much for John Talk Radio and having this opportunity to join you again, our third year together, on this very special day of Global Cooperation Day 2016. How are you?
I'm doing great, Pete. I really appreciate that we're involved in this, that you've gotten us involved. It's one of those things, I was just talking a little bit to the audience about how that it seems like such a big task to bring world peace. But if one person can do it, and then two people can do it, Pete, and you know this as well as anyone, if we can just spread this to just a few people to turn that page, and instead of being evil and disrespectful to people, the people can love each other. Somebody can do an act of kindness today for someone. It's incredible, and it's such a and it is a great honor to be a part of this, and I really do appreciate it. I know you've been busy today. This has got to be one of your talk about today to the listening audience, Pete.
Hey, we're not done yet. Well, there were a few complications, but that happens. You know, I mean, in New York City, there was a lot of traffic, and we got kind of stuck in the city trying to get out. But what a wonderful day. It started off with Queen Mother Blakely, who is the community mayor of Harlem, New York, and she is ambassador to the United Nations for Africa, who I'm in partnership now with as, ambassador-in-chief for world peace to the United Nations. And, she and I had talked many times. I was introduced to her by Adam Greenwell from New Zealand, who is the son of Liz Greenwell, who is the founder and initiator of Global Cooperation Day. And so Queen Mother and I talk quite often on the phone. She's just a delightful, very wise, soft-spoken, lovely woman, so full of love. She used to actually be a nun at one time, and she told me the story of the movie Sister Act was actually based on her.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. And she's got a book out, The Harlem Street Nun. And she administers to people that are indigent and, the homeless and people that are in need. And remarkable woman. And I didn't notice till today that she's been with the United Nations for 47 years.
Wow. Right. Yeah, that's incredible.
47 years. And they just had the General Assembly meetings last week. And she was with heads of state and many beautiful things on the table to make our world a better place, and not just Africa. She stands for Women of the World, too, which is a beautiful thing. She works with all the youth and young people so that they can be prosperous and be productive in society instead of going, like you said, going the wrong route and ending up on the streets or with substances or with crime and drugs and things like that. And this woman is just remarkable. But, Liz's dream, Liz Greenwell, her whole dream right from the beginning was to do just what you said in your opening statement, and reaching out. She saw the despair, the desolation, the poverty. She grew up in Ireland, and this was her goal and her quest to do what we can to plant the seeds of God's love and make our world a better place, and that God would give the increase and that the harvest would be plentiful. And, I've said this many times, and even in the past when we've talked many times, John, and it's always refreshing and so spiritual talking with you, and that we know God has a plan and purpose in everything. And oftentimes I tell people, look, I'm not a priest, a minister, a rabbi, but I am a humanitarian, and I am a man who cares. That Jesus taught us, love one another as I have loved you, do unto each other as you would have done unto you. And people still don't get it, and that's what you just said in your opening statement, which is so profound, is that, right from the beginning of time, and now it has escalated to the point where it's off the hook. And,
right.
Since we spoke last year, and then I had you on as a guest on Michael Loya and I, when we did the show Direction of the Heart, and we spoke
right
on it then too, and, just the conditions of the world just from last year to now has gotten worse, not better. the bullying, the cyberbullying, these young people, the suicide rate in Qatar's because can't take it. And you know, when someone's going to go on a social network worldwide and use that as a weapon, it's ruining lives and it's putting a lot of these young people in a very bad state. Then you have, you know, all these senseless shootings and pipe bombs and pressure cooker bombs and terrorists and just you can't even walk out your door that people have to be, you know, very, very observant of. But they're afraid to fly on a plane. They're afraid to get on a bus. They're afraid to go to a ballpark. They're afraid to go to a concert. They're afraid to go to a shopping mall. And even in churches, in elderly homes, you know, for the aged, you're seeing shootings and killings everywhere. And this is just appalling that it has gone to the state, as Jesus said, such as no man has seen since the beginning of time. You know, he said, you have seen wars and rumors of wars and pestilence and famines and earthquakes and tragedies, but not since the beginning of time. And we are living in that time period now where we know our Lord is going to return soon. It's inevitable. It's imminent. We don't know the day nor the hour, but, you know, in the meantime, and back to your opening statement, a kind deed, a kind word, a kind gesture to help someone. Jesus, I've said this on many interviews, that, you know, when Jesus said, you know, love thy neighbor, it didn't mean the guy living next door, but it means anyone who is in need. And I have to be emphatic, does not matter the color of our skin or our nationality, our race. There's only one God, one true and living almighty and everlasting Father. So, you know, the prejudice, the hatred, the violence, the senseless killings, oftentimes people ask, well, what do you propose to do about that? How are you going to contain it? And, you know, mankind is the one that's been putting it there. So, you know, we're just human. We're vessels of God's love and peace. But collectively, we collaborate. We can make a big difference. Maybe we can't conquer the world and save all the problems and all the ills and all the famine and all the starvation and people that are in need of water. I mean, I just got off Skype with Pastor Frederick from Africa, and he Skypes me all the time, and we talk, and what a wonderful man. And here, they don't even have, you know, we could go to our faucet, well, in most cases, I mean, look at in Flint, Michigan, those people were being poisoned with their tap water, you know.
Right.
But I mean, we have plentiful water, whether it be bottled water or spring water or right from our tap, that, you know, and they don't have that. They're in grass huts, if anything. No clean water. No food is scarce, you know, and they tried to plant crops, and they're unsuccessful because of the heat and the climate. So, you know, there's so many, and the genocide there, and the AIDS and Ebola, there are many things, malaria, and my heart goes out to not just, you know, Africa, but there's so many countries. You got Africa, which is in desperate need of help, Brazil, Venezuela, Argentina. These are countries which I'm going to be doing the concert there in Brazil next year. But these are countries, John, that, you know, the sex trafficking and the drug trafficking is, like, out of control, you know. And then it gets into countries like our own. But it's all that's the home turf where, you know, it's hitting the streets here in the United States. But that's where it comes from.
And, oh, exactly.
How do you contain that, you know? It's just...
One of the things that, you know, I've been thinking about a lot lately, and my wife and I are involved in our community with trying to really help the addicts. It's really reached a point where it used to be, you know, you could stereotype what an addict looked like, Pete. You could say, oh, okay, this guy or this type of person.
Right,
It's anyone, and it's, you know, it goes up into government. Yeah.
Yeah, not to joke. Many times it's misconstrued because you could see someone who's displaced in life or had a nervous break. I've seen many guys come back with post-war syndrome, and they're on the streets, and right away somebody will walk by and go, oh, he's a druggie, or he's an alcoholic, and that's not always true. But I know what you're saying.
They think they deserve that, don't they, Pete? And they don't.
No, they don't deserve that. They don't. If anything, they need a lending hand and a help. Someone to offer them a job. Someone to get them cleaned up. Someone to offer them a decent bed, even if it was a cot and a little room where they can have shelter and not sleep on a sidewalk or on a cardboard box, especially the men and women that have served our country. That's a disgrace to see them being treated that way.
I agree 100%. I think one of the things I think is so important about this day and about, you know, you and what you're doing with, and, you know, the Queen Mother and all these different people, is the fact that we see the problems. We understand that they're there, Pete. We know that it can be very desperate. People need help today. But we also know that God has given us the power to do this. That is the most incredible thing, that when people get discouraged and when they lose hope, they have hope. There is light and there is power.
You just hit a very profound point, the power. And oftentimes what mankind does, especially those that sit in powers that be in governments and things like that, it's always been money, power, and greed, and they abuse the power. And I often bring out that when Jesus stood in front of Pontius Pilate, and Pilate says, "You realize I have the power to have you crucified or set you free?" And Jesus looked at him and said, "You have no power unless my Father gives it unto you."
It's completely
right. And
God
gives us the enablement he wants us to reach out to our fellow man. This is what Jesus set the example in healing the sick and administering to the blind, the deaf, the dumb, those that were with illnesses, raised the dead, you know, and he got down and washed his own disciples' feet, showing a complete act of humility.
Right.
And this is what he admonished us to do, and yet, I just gave this example, and not to, you know, I say this humbly, but, a few days ago, maybe a week ago, I was walking up to the corner store here by me, this little strip mall, vegetable store and grocery market, and there was an elderly woman, John, with a brace on her hand, a brace on her knee, hunched over. She was with another elderly gentleman, her husband. And there's a set of stairs before you get down to the ground landing where all the stores are. There's a good 15 stairs easily. And she had one of those little push carts loaded with groceries and laundry, and she was trying to go, like, step by step, trying to get it down. I counted at least 8-10 people that walked by her. Nobody offered to help her.
Yep.
Not one of them. I was appalled. And I went over and I said, Can I help you with that? She said, "Oh, thank you, young man. God bless." And I said, "No, I just thank God that I was here to help you." I said, "And I'm shocked that all these people, no one offered to help you, you know." And, and the gentleman sitting right next to me here with me is Leo Sanderson, who is the screenwriter for Sons of God, the major TV series we're doing, director and producer. And
right.
Leo did a remarkable thing the other day. Maybe you want to tell him, Leo. Leo Sanderson, this is John Darlington of John Talk Radio.
How are you doing today?
Doing great. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm loving the conversation that I'm hearing.
Well, I love what you did the other day. And it was just a kind gesture with this.
I see many things like what you've said. I live in New York City, and I'll be in Manhattan, and I'll see a lady struggling with a stroller up or down a staircase. And it's not a second thought for me to go run and help, because that's what was instilled in me since childhood. But the amount of people that walk past without even a second glance is astounding. I think what Pete was referring to was the other day, there was a young lady who was blind and deaf.
Yeah.
She had a problem. She went to the hospital. While in the hospital, she lost use of her legs and no longer able to walk, and was unable to get home and was being abused in the hospital. It was
neglect and malpractice, actually.
And so Pete was impressed that I dropped everything I was doing to run and take her home. And
you spoke French, and then you went and got her.
Yeah, they cried and all of that. They were so happy.
And I think that was a beautiful thing.
To me, it's like that's just everyday life. Pete was really impressed by it.
Well, I was impressed in the sense of that, you know, not many people, and this is what John and I are talking, you know, wanted you to give that testimony, because this is all it takes. Did you really know her, her family? No. But
no.
You made an extra effort, somebody in need, and you went over there. And that was, to them, that was like you could have put $1 million in front of them. What you did was far better than that.
You're right.
You got the girl home safe, out of that hospital where she was treated, and to her parents. And that's all it takes.
I deal with people like you, Pete, and it's like, you know, this is how we're supposed to be toward each other. You know, I mean, you have so many testimonies that to me it was like nothing. I mean, because this is how we are with people.
In God's eyes, it was something. You know, we don't judge. God sees what we do. He knows, and we don't give the glory to ourselves. The Bible says, you know, we glorify ourselves, you are abased, you are brought low. But if you will humble yourself, you will be glorified. So when we do these things, we were commanded to do so. And when we here's the key. You said a word earlier, John, a key word, opportunity. Now, those that are in position, I just had this discussion with one of my investors for my motion picture, that God gives us opportunities, and we could walk away from them, or
right.
we could seize the day and be productive, or we could be counterproductive. We could be good, or we could be evil, and God did not create robots, and he gave us choices. So how could somebody, to me it was appalling, walk past that woman and not help her? So it's simple things like that we can all do towards one another. And what you and your wife, Marcy, are doing is commendable, because you're administrating as Jesus did to those that are poor, to those that are in need. And that we can all do that. I don't care if it's bake a pie, go visit someone, call them up, send a card. When I go to like these senior homes and I put on a little show for them free of charge, or I go see the vets in the vet home, that makes their day. And I walk away enriched. I did a show for all cancer patients. This is about 2-3 years ago. And I walked out of here saying, you enriched mine. They were, you were great, and you made us laugh, and you made us forget about what we're going through. And I said, well, that was the idea, but I walked away feeling enriched, because these people were there suffering with some in the early stages, some of them in remission, some of them, fourth stage, and smiles on their faces, happy that they're alive, wanting to get well, and what spirit was in them that I walked away and I said to myself, and people complain about little things? No?
I wanted to say something about the work that you do also. I grew up in a home where my father was deeply into drugs. Uh-huh. So when I hear someone doing something, you'd be surprised. It's not always people you would think would be doing drugs. I mean, lawyers,
right.
Doctors.
Oh, yeah, you got people in the corporate world big time. You know, look at the dogs of Wall Street. That wasn't too far from the truth.
No.
Based on reality. It was based on the truth.
I just wanted to say that's wonderful work you're doing. Those are people, most of them, when they started doing drugs, didn't think they would end up in dire, desperate situations. They ended up there and addicted heavily to drugs, and it could be alcohol, it could be anything.
I honestly think that, John, see if you concur with me on this. I don't think that any people that have a substance abuse problem really want it.
Exactly. I think what you're doing is wonderful.
Not making excuses for them. It's a wrong road they took. But a lot of them have been broken homes, and not that it's an excuse. A lot of people come from broken homes and they don't do drugs. But, in essence, they come from broken homes, or they didn't have the proper upbringing, and they're depressed clinically, and then they wind up getting in with the wrong people, or even right around them, their own family members, and then they wind up leaning to alcohol or substances or getting in with the wrong crowd. And I've experienced when, John, I don't know if I ever shared this testimony with you, but it was some years ago, great guitar player, all ties in with world peace, great guitar player that I know, and we call him Rev, because he used to work in like a halfway house, where all of these young men were there on their own recognizance. No bars on the windows, no locks on the doors. They could walk out anytime they want, but they're there to rehabilitate. So
right.
He called me up one day, and he goes, Pete, come up and talk to the kids. He always called them the kids, And I said, sure, Bill, I'll come up, And so we did a little show, and we entertained them. And I was noticing, very observant while I was there, like a sponge, that there was one guy over there, and he was drawing, like, cartoon characters and sketches, and had full of great drawing. The guy was a computer whiz. And they all had talents. Yet these guys were like gangbanging and hanging with some of the worst gangs, the Crips, the Bloods, the Latin Kings, and you name it, and guns and knives and drugs. And so I, when I walked in, John, they snapped their heels like they were in the Marines, 30 guys. And
wow.
Thank you for taking time out of your busy day, sir. And I stopped.
That's
cold.
Incredible.
I stopped cold and I was like, wow, thank me for taking time out of my busy day. What does that tell me? Tells me that people can say, I love you. People can say, I care. But if you don't back it up with action, and I said to them, gentlemen, I says, not judging you, but if I came from the hood or got in with the wrong crowd, or maybe I didn't have the proper upbringing, or maybe, one of my parents, was abusive, I might be in the room right next to you.
Right.
But praise God that, and I'm not here to preach to you, I'm not talking down to you, but praise God that, I have the Lord, and that is the light, and that is the direction. I see many talents that you gentlemen have. I walked around here today. What you
incredible.
Do. I says, and for me to take time out of my busy day, as you put it, yes, because I care. And for me to just say that would be just wind in the air, you know, dust in the wind. But the fact that I'm here showing you that I care, and we all need to do this, then it makes a mark. And I says, I tell you here today, gentlemen, that, you know, you don't need, that don't make you tough to go back on the streets and push drugs or hang with the drugs and the alcohol and everything. So what makes you tough is to walk away from it.
Amen. That's exactly right. And it's one of the things, Pete and Leo, that we've been working with. I mean, you see subtle things happening, like at the radio station that I work at also, Ready FM, that you've been on, Pete. One of the guys that's working there with me, he was a alcoholic, a heroin addict. He got hurt at work. He got a rehab. Then he got hurt. Then he got addicted to pain pills. Then he it just seems like it's that addiction. And the thing that it's incredible is now he's a testimony, and now he is. Gone through rehab, and now he is the light, Pete, that can, like, I can't relate to these guys like he can. He can. He's been down in the gutter with them. He knows exactly what it feels like.
Exactly.
Yeah. When I was doing psychology, that's something I learned. If you haven't experienced being, let's say, an alcoholic, they have a thing in AA where only an alcoholic can talk to an alcoholic. If you haven't been there, you can't understand what I've been through type thing.
Yeah,
correct.
So I understand where you're coming from, and to have somebody, to be working with somebody who can understand and help you touch, that is a blessing.
Yeah, well, I've used the metaphor, you know, you're sitting in a waiting room of a doctor, all right, and you're waiting, and some guy has got a migraine headache, but you've never had one. You have no idea what he's feeling.
Right.
You can't even come close and relate to what he's feeling. A woman in childbirth, we see, we witness, you know. But, yeah, we don't know what that feels like.
Don't want to.
You know? But, you know, we're laughing, but it's true that, you know, these are just examples that we cannot judge someone, and you don't judge a book by its cover. And many times, and it's true what you just said, John, that they do many times often go hand in hand, where I've seen people that were maybe, you know, doing heroin or other substances, and they get clean for a little while, but they lean on another substance, and they turn to alcohol. And then if it's not that, prescription drugs. And so it takes an individual like this gentleman who was there, who has now reformed and can turn around and walk them and guide them through. And that's a commendable thing that he's doing.
Amen.
You know?
It's one of the things, Pete, that, you know, and you and Leo, you guys were talking about, you know, people that you've helped, Leo, that were in the hospital and all these different kinds of people. It's been maybe a few months ago on my radio show, I interviewed a band that you guys should look up on Facebook called Inner Vision. And both of the people in the band are blind, and they've been blind, Leo, since birth. And they are amazing blues musicians. And I've had them in the studio and interviewed them. And like Pete was saying, how the people with cancer were making you feel good. They were telling me how great their day was and how blessed they were. And it made me feel like, wow, how can I ever have a bad day?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that's a consolation prize, but you self-examine and you say, and I was complaining about this or that. When you see people, you know, that's like the metaphor of, you know, the old adage of the man that complained because he didn't have shoes until he saw the man with no feet.
Exactly.
You know?
And
that's
so true.
People, when I hear them complaining, and you know, we all get bad days and guilty as charged. I said earlier in an interview that, you know, there's times where I'll be in my office and, oh, this guy didn't get back to me, and this one, you know, how many times did I repeat something and they don't get it, and they don't write it down, or, you know, and you get frustrated or you get a little, you know, bad days, but yet, I always say what Jesus said, and it works. When Jesus calmed the storm, he said, peace be still. And the disciples said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and sea obey him? And we could take that deep breath and say, peace be still, and that calmness and God's love and the Spirit, which Jesus said, peace be within you, that's where it starts. If we're at peace with ourselves, then we can emulate and perpetuate love out to others, you know? But we
that's
would not
the
know
power.
Love. from God.
That's the
first.
Power, Pete, that we're talking about. That's the power that Jesus has and the Spirit has, that you can look at these problems and think, there's no way we can overcome these problems. They're just too much. If we did not have the power of God, we probably
yeah.
would not have the ability to do that. But we do. And that's why, you know, when we talk about that, I want to just say something real quick. First of all, thank you guys for what you're doing, Leo and Pete, for what you guys are doing. I really appreciate it. And I really,
right.
really appreciate you being on the show.
Right back at
I
you.
Was,
thank you. You and your wife are doing, John.
Well, thanks. And one person that I want to put a shout out to is Pastor Dusty Ballard. And I want you guys to look him up when you get an opportunity. He's in a rock band called The Savior's Army, which is just an amazing band out of Bay City, Michigan. And Dusty is doing such an incredible job. We talked about you mentioned cutting, Pete.
Uh-huh.
He had that problem with his daughter. His daughter attempted suicide twice, and she was a cutter. Now, this is a pastor's daughter, right? And all these problems that she's gone through. Now, she's doing really good right now. But Dusty is one of those guys – Leo and Pete, that is taking this terrible thing that's happened to him and talking through truth in his heart, not trying to be ashamed of it or trying to candy coat it, but talking the truth to people. And he's changing people's lives through his testimony of,
yeah.
hey, I'm a pastor and my daughter was cutting. I'm a pastor and my daughter tried to kill herself twice with depression. I'm a pastor and I go through the same problems that you go through. And I think that on this cooperation day, this global cooperation day, we just see people like you're saying, guys, that they're on the same level that we're on, whether they're like the elderly people you saw, Pete, or the person in the hospital, Leo, that you saw that needed help, or, you know, someone that is just sitting at home with no one around them. One little small act of kindness can change their whole world.
You know, they don't have yep. anyone visiting them and they're lonely and I would sit with them after doing a show and talk with them, and you could get volumes of wisdom from these people. And on
oh
top
my
of
gosh.
That, they
yep.
love to just have the company and talk to someone, you know. Simple thing like that, you know. And this is all ways that we plant the seed, as Liz Greenwell said, and as Jesus instructed us. But Liz always had, you know, the metaphor of planting seeds. And they're literally planting trees and agriculture so that – you know, we can harvest. You know, we reap what we sow. And
The environment means a lot. I mean, we can't do much without this earth.
Yeah, and mankind is destroying it. They're killing off the wildlife, animals, you know, and the abuse to the elderly and battered women and abused children and animals. So, you know, this is where we have to – and it all came down to – in many Skype streaming out today with many of the guests that came on to speak, comes down to educating people, turning it around. And by that, we have to be a living example, not just talk it, but live it and teach them, because our youth, the young people, are our future. And if we plant that seed and turn it around, we can get rid of the poison, the toxicity that's there, and turn it into pureness.
Oh, yeah. The band I was talking about, the Savior's Army, they play anywhere. They play in any bar. They'll play anywhere that people will have them. And they're
yeah.
really, really good. And Dusty was telling me about a couple of weeks ago, they were called, and this guy said, hey, we have a band that canceled. Can you come on? And he said, sure. And they went on, and Pete and Leo, and they played with a full-out black metal satanic band. And these guys were, like, talking about the devil and doing all kinds of stuff. And Dusty and his band played, and they met him afterwards, and he said, we didn't judge him. We didn't talk down to him. We treated
right.
him like human beings. And they said, wow, you guys are, like, real. And a lot of people just make fun of us. And Dusty was saying how that, with honesty, they were able to make a relationship with these guys and to talk to them and to make, you know, open a path of communication. And I think that's so important today.
Oh, Jesus, again, was an example of that. He never judged anyone by, you know, a book by its cover figure speech that, look at the harlot. And he says, he is without sin, cast the first stone. And then he said, woman, where is your accusers now? as he knelt down in Aramaic.
that's one of my favorite stories. It's like without sin, you can cast the first stone. And they all kind of looked at each other and walked away because
they said, "We're out of here. We're out of here."
Yeah, take a good look at yourself before you look at other people, and I think that's such a great thing.
Don't laughing at my glass house here.
Yeah, well,
I'm not throwing no rocks.
Apostle Paul reiterated in the scripture saying, "Examine yourselves." So, you know, before you cast that stone, examine yourself. And if we all do that, I think it'd be a far better world. And that is a message of global peace, that before you judge someone else, make sure you have your own house in order. Yeah, everybody has, you know, we all make mistakes. We all, you know, imperfections. None of us are perfect. But, you know, there are people that go out there and intentionally, habitually do these things. You know, this is where we got to turn it around. And I've brought this up many times. It's because they've taken God out of everything. And
that's where that hope is. That guy I was telling you guys about in our radio station, he said his problem was, guys, that he knew that God had the power, but he just was – he felt shame. He didn't feel worthy.
Right. And there's a lot of people like that. They feel they're unworthy. It's through the blood of Christ that has made us worthy. None of us are worthy. All have fallen short of the glory of God, you know.
That's
but
the
he
key.
He was our intercessor. So
let's take a quick music break, guys. Give you a minute to catch your breath. My guest is Pete DiLorenzo and Leo Sanderson, and we're talking about Global Cooperation Day. And if you would like to call in, you can call in at 877-694-5613. And you can go to Global Cooperation Day on Facebook. The link to the website is there. Try to make this the best day that anybody's ever had. If you can go forth and just in your own little neighborhood, I learned that a long time ago, guys. I don't have to go all over the place.
That's
just
right.
That person that you see at the, like you talked about, Pete, going down to the corner store. And smiling and being nice to somebody. It's just incredible how little acts like that, like you said, can sow the seed. So we're going to take a music break. We're going to be right back with Pete and Leo, so don't go away. And we'll be right back after this.
This is beautiful. Beautiful.
Little child, you might show the way to a better day for all of us. just look what we have done. All that we destroyed, you must build again. No more presidents and all the wars we live. One united world under God. When the children cry, let's all we try. It's when the children fight, let's all it ain't right. When the children pray, let's all pray. Cause when the children sing, let the new world begin.
And we're back on John Talk Radio. We have a very special guest tonight, P. DiLorenzo and Leo Sanderson. And we really are here today to – this is going to be podcasted, guys, so people can hear this, you know, down the road if they're not listening now. And a lot of times people will listen to the podcasted shows. And we want to be able to give hope and to people that are having problems and think that things just aren't going to work out. The sad part of it is that there are people that are plotting and thinking about doing evil things and hurting people today. And I was just thinking, guys, in my prayer that if one person could decide not to do that, if one person could say, you know what, I'm not going to carry out this evil task that I thought would be a really good idea. I think if we could just touch one person to do that, I think this would be one of the most successful days ever. What do you guys think of that?
That's a very good point, John. You know, again, in the scriptures, it admonishes us to recompense not evil with evil, but recompense evil with good. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So if we could turn around and say, you know, this is not my department. Why not where there's despair, put hope? Where there's darkness, put light. Where there's hatred, put love. And what you just said is it says it all right there, you know. If everybody would have the mindset. You know, my father used to say when we were younger, I don't care what the other kids do at school. Don't come home and tell me, oh, well, the other kids, I don't want to hear that. I want to know, what did you do?
Yep.
What did you do? See? So if we have to take the responsibility within ourselves and say, well, what did I do? What could I have done to possibly make this better instead of maybe adding coals to the fire and making it a worse situation? Something I said or something I did could ignite the match and set it off even more. So you see, it's simple things like that, like you just said, to turn it around.
Well, I want to bring up an example. September 30th was my mother's birthday. I'm generally the type of person, when you see me, I smile, I say hello. Some people don't say hello back, and, you know, that doesn't bother me. I still smile, I say hello.
Right.
I didn't realize it was my mother's birthday until I got to work, and then I didn't get to go visit her at a gravesite. I was depressed, I was angry, I didn't want to talk to anybody. The first couple of people said hello to me because I always say hello. I begrudgingly say hello back because I don't want to be rude. By the fourth, fifth person, my entire spirit was lifted because of the positive energy that was sent my direction.
There you go.
And the reason I brought that up is to say if we can take that same energy, we can possibly be giving someone that same positive energy for the day. You could be making their day better. And if you do that, that might be something that helps revolve around the world. It doesn't take nothing to say smile and say hello.
Absolutely, and it sets, like you said, it sets an energy out there that, you know, you see some people, they're always grumpy, they're always, and that's a negative vibe going out. But when you see, like you said, you were, you know, kind of
down
on yourself because you wanted to be there, you had forgotten, and then people being cheerful to you with a cheerful countenance
cheered me up.
It cheered you up. And
yep.
I'm in the laugh business. That, you know, when I go out on that stage, I always tell people, it's not about it's my livelihood. I go on as it's a gift that God gave me to, along with many others, you know, with the acting. And it's about, but when I go on that stage, I look out and I see, you know, the mother who's got a kid sick, or the guy that just lost his job, or a couple going through a divorce or a separation. And I say, wow, for that hour, I'm here to make them smile, to forget their problems. It's the greatest healing agent. Laughter is the best medicine, and it's scientifically and medically proven. So, you know, that's joyful to say, yet they don't realize. I've gone to that stage sometimes where we're human, and maybe I had a bad day, or, you know, you're not feeling well physically, or you're tired, or you have a problem, and I just cast it out of my mind, like when I lock into a character on set and assume a role, and you just get rid of it. And Jesus said that, you know, get thee behind me, Satan, cast it out from you. If your left hand offend you, cut it off. If your right eye offend you, cut it out. And what he meant metaphorically was, you know, he spoke in parables, get the cancer and the toxicity out of your life. No room for any presence of evil. And you can say unto that mountain, be removed, and it will be removed. And that's the mountains in our way. Most of the time, or we ourselves are guilty of putting them there. So we can remove those mountains. And what John said earlier, John, as you said, is the spirit. The spirit. And then take that spirit and share it with others. If we had a If we had a cure for cancer, would we keep it to ourselves, or would you share it with the world? Heal some
right.
People?
You would share it with everyone.
Yeah. Well, not everybody.
You would think.
If the cure for cancer exists, then there's a lot of people making a lot of money that don't want that
cure.
Well,
I'm using that as an example, yes.
Sorry.
Well, no, sure. They would be kind of ticked off because of the fact that, yeah, they have put them out of business, and that's what goes on in real world. You know, and you know, in essence, you know, that's why Jesus said to share. You know, half a loaf is better than none. And if I got a half a loaf of bread, I'm going to give you some, and we all eat. You know.
Yeah, exactly. There's in some of the things I've talked about, guys. When I've talked to people, it's that fear that they have that things aren't going to go well, or things are going to go bad, or even if things are good, they're eventually going to go bad. But when I was going through last year, almost a year and a half ago, some problems with my job, and I was thinking, you know, I was praying about it, and God would give me the scripture. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And I would say that over and over, and it was like, whatever I'm fearing, God has not given us that power of fear. He doesn't give us fear. He gives us power. He gives us love. And he gives us a sound mind. And there's many nights, guys, that I went to sleep saying that over and over in my heart so that I could understand that fear will keep you from, like you're saying, Leo, with, you know, at work, and you're usually, you know, very outgoing, and there were just things bothering you. And I would get to a point where I couldn't sleep. And then I would think, and the spirit would minister to me and tell me, well, God hasn't given you fear. You know, he's given you power and love and a sound mind. And those are pretty good things to have.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And we can have that sound mind if we let the light of our Lord in. If we shut it out, then you wonder why people worry. And worry causes sickness, physical illness. It causes many things. Worry solves nothing. You know, but if we let that light in, as you just said, John, yeah, that's where the peace be still. The spirit of the Lord will dwell within us. See? And
You guys have said so many great things today. We have a little over 10 minutes left. I'm going to ask both of you what, just to say to the people that are listening, the people out there, what can we do as an individual? Let's start with Leo. What can we do as an individual, Leo, on this Global Cooperation Day? That what would you say to people that they could do to make a difference and to make this a better world today?
Well, that's a difficult question because there's a multifaceted answer, but in the consciousness of time constraint, I'll keep it simple. Be kind to others, and I'm not the type to necessarily want to turn the other cheek. At times, Pete has ministered to me as my mentor when I sometimes might have an ill-mannered temper when someone does something that I feel is wrong to me, when I feel I've been done wrong. And so I wouldn't sit here and say, you know, if somebody does something, you turn the other cheek. But an act of kindness toward a stranger or to even someone you know, that, you know, just be nice to people. And I believe it's been proven scientifically that an ounce, what is it? I can't remember the exact units of measurement that was used. But it's like it takes 10 times as much negative energy to make a room negative as it takes positive energy to make a room positive. So if you put the positive energy out, you can make the world positive around you in spite of having more negative energy surrounding you. So just put out positive energy to be good to people.
That's great advice, Leo. Thank you. Pete?
Well, you know, I reflect on, you know, what Leo said, that, you know, when Jesus said, turn the other cheek, walk the extra mile. If they ask of your coat, give them your cloak also, and forgive 70 times 7. What he was showing is complete humility. And Apostle Paul had mentioned in the scriptures, too, that when in doing kindness to someone, let's say someone was maliciously and continuously doing wrong to you, we're human. We get hurt, or we get angry, or we get upset. But if you let the Spirit take over and the Spirit of the Lord, that there's no place for it. There's absolutely no room for it. And he says, and then in continuing to do kindness, hopefully it will bring them to a rude awakening, that they, it's as if heaping coals of fire upon their head, as the Apostle Paul put it, meaning someone's constantly doing me harm, and I'm just continually doing kind to them. You'd hope they're going to turn around and go, well, why am I doing this? You would hope, you see. And that was his point, to keep continuing to do the good and do not seek revenge. Do not, you know, turn the other cheek. And walk. Many times best to walk away from a situation, not that you're a wimp, not that you're a coward, but to be at peace with all men. Why stand there and argue? Why stand there and fight or get into a verbal volleyball when you could just say, well, you know, God bless, and I'll pray for you, and you walk away in peace rather than to, you know, make it an uproar and let it linger on, and then people carry grudges, and you see even families torn apart. Years and years go by, they don't talk to each other, or they show up on a holiday and all they do, instead of carving a turkey, they're carving each other's throats out, you know? But, you know, it's things like that that we can simply just, it's a mindset, it's a way of life, it's a pattern, an order of life to say, what if we stop everything that we say and do, and I do this many times, and I'm human, there's times where you get into a whirlwind where you don't, but you have to catch yourself and say, all right, in this situation, what would Jesus do? What would he do right now? How would he handle this? And that'll put us right back on track. And I do that when I correct myself. You know, you could have a bad day and under a lot of stress and, you know, maybe upset with this or that, or, and you just say, well, you know, whoa, peace be still. And how would Jesus handle this? You see? And he there were times he rebuked. I mean, he threw the money changers out of the temple and said, you will not make my father's house a den of thieves. That was a righteous anger. He told the Pharisees they were hypocrites.
Yeah.
All right? But, you know, but yet he was as humble and meek as a lamb, and he was our sacrificial lamb. So many times he taught them by things that he said, you know, like even when he was arrested in Gethsemane. Daily you saw me in front of the temple in broad daylight, yet you come as thieves in the night and arrest me in the darkness of the night. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like hitting somebody right between the eyes, showing them their own stupidity and the irony of it, but he did it humbly to teach.
Yeah.
He didn't go, oh, you guys are a bunch of clowns, ha-ha. You know, you could have had me in broad day. No, he didn't do that. So daily I stood there in the temple, and yet you come to, and Judas betrayed him with a kiss, and, you know, the whole night, here Peter takes his dagger out and slices off the ear of one of the soldiers, and what did Jesus do? Put away the sword, Peter. Those that live by the sword will die by the sword. And he healed the soldier's ear, the enemy.
Right.
He goes, heal.
Yeah.
Okay? So you want to talk about setting an example, an act of humility, that, you know, even the Roman centurion at the foot of his cross, after piercing his side, which was customary in that time that they would break the legs, and the scriptures record not a bone in his body was broken, and his side was pierced, and forthwith came blood and water. And that centurion looked up and said, truly this is the Son of God. It was like a circumcision of the heart right there. And another case in the scriptures where a Roman centurion dismounts off of his horse as Jesus was healing people, and the crowd was pressing him, and the centurion says, watch this, I could be put to death for treason, what I'm about to say. But I have seen your miracles, he said to Jesus. I have seen your works, and I know that you could but say the word, my servant who is sick and dying will be healed. And Jesus turned to his disciples in the crowd and said, "In all of Jerusalem I have not seen faith such as in this man." And that was a Roman centurion. Okay? So he was like, did he shame them? No, but he says, "You see, oh ye little faith. I haven't seen faith like this throughout all of Jerusalem." Here in Romans, and he says, "Go thy way. Your servant awaits you in the walkway. He's healed. By your faith, he has been made whole." He taught. A preacher, he was more so a teacher. He set the example. Action speaks louder than words. But when he had to, few words, but powerful. You know?
Well, guys, thank you so much for being on. I really, really appreciate it. It's good to meet you, Leo. It's great.
Thank
we'll have to keep in touch. And, Pete, thank you so much for all that you do. And allowing me to be a part of this day. This is just a really great thing. I really appreciate it. Guys,
same.
Thank you. And everybody out there.
Just you and your wife
like
and all your listeners. And thanks for being part of this with us, John. Peace and love, and God bless you, sir.
God bless you guys. And like you said, Leo, just be kind to somebody. I mean,
yep.
How hard is that?
I would say the final message, John, on behalf of your station and all your wonderful listeners and on this day of global peace, everyone, just turn around and hug someone. Do a kind deed. Share a kind thought, a kind gesture, and that's the beginning. That's how it starts. Plant that seed and let it go. Let it go airborne.
I'm with you. Thanks, guys. Have a great day, and we'll talk later.
Okay.
And thanks,
God
everybody.
Bless you.
God
peace
bless you. Thank you, everyone, for listening tonight. And we'll talk to you later. And everybody, have a great day.
You can go, you can start all over again. You could try to find a way to make another day go by. You can hide, hold all your feelings inside. You could try to carry on when all you wanna do is cry. Try to find a way to just feel better now.